Our bodies oftentimes suffer from attacks from the outside world. Viruses, infections, they come around. They jump from person to person. The weather has an effect on many of your aches and pains and muscles and joints. And then there's always in the summer those pesky ants and mosquitoes, those other things that are problematic and attack our bodies. And in some places, there's even those deadly diseases that we don't think too often about. Malaria, polio, other viruses and diseases. For the people of Israel, their bodies were attacked by venomous fire snakes that were let loose in their camp because they had grumbled against God. They were in agony. They were dying. And they continued to grumble. They spoke against God and against Moses. They were ungrateful because they had manna, bread from heaven, and water from a rock, and quail to eat. But you know how it is when you have the same thing over and over, day in and day out. They got tired of being provided daily bread. They wanted something more. And so God surrounds sinful Israelites with venomous snakes. And when he does so, he surrounds them with an animal which best reflects their character. As they are sinning against God, they become children of Satan. And these spiritual vipers are surrounded with natural vipers, and they're dying in alarming number. When they can see the true, repulsive, deadly character of their sin, when they see themselves surrounded by snakes and dying from venom, then they finally come and say, "We've sinned." And as they confessed, Moses interceded, and God provided an Old Testament sacrament, a visible sign with a promise that anyone who is bitten can look at and live. A bronze serpent with a wooden pole. Seems like a strange sign, don't you think? But isn't it always fascinating how the cure for things always looks like and involves the very problem itself? The deadly disease of polio is vaccinated by injecting into infants a small strain of polio. So it is with the flu virus each year. The vaccine involves a small strand of the virus. That's how most of our viruses are. You inject a small strain of it into our human bodies, and God has wonderfully designed us with antibodies to develop and grow and be used as part of a cure. The cure looks just like the disease itself. And so a serpent, an image of a sly, subtle creature, the one who tempted Adam and Eve in the garden, is used on a pole. Like the Israelites in the wilderness, all of humanity is snake bitten. It happened to Adam and Eve in the garden when that shrew and subtle serpent tempted them and injected a poison of his lie. The lie that God was not true to his word. That man doubting that God doesn't mean what he says when he says, "If you eat of it, you'll surely die." The thought that we could be like God and experience good and evil in our own terms. That we can reach into the middle and become masters of our own destiny. Eve bit, Adam bit. The serpent bit, and his deadly poison has invaded our humanity ever since, leaving no one undamaged. Humanity died that day. They were dead to God and to each other, hiding, ashamed, blaming, and self-justifying. And that poison that invaded them also invades you and me. Satan's poisonous attack continues today as the world around continues to doubt the word of God. That what he says does not necessarily apply to today's issues. Questioning God. Questioning whether he really means what he says on things like marriage and sexuality as he created. Questioning God as the culture of death continues to tighten its grip. And some wonder if he truly even cares for life. And we are not immune here from that either. Questioning God as we always pay attention and wonder about our stock portfolios, home values, and savings. Wondering if God really will provide for all our needs in this body and life. The bite of sin leaves us dead, not sick, not just troubled, but struggling and snake-bitten dead. The Israelites' only hope for salvation was to repent and turn to the Lord for deliverance. There was nothing they could do on their own. The only hope for salvation they had came from outside themselves, from God. But there was this thing about a bronze snake. But the only reason that bronze snake did anything was because God attached his word and promise to it. He chose to use it as a means of grace. That's the same with the waters of baptism, as we see this morning. Without God's word, it's just some plain water. But with the word of God for Braden this morning, it is the power of God to claim him as his child. Same true with the Lord's Supper. Without the word of God, it's just some flat, stale bread that's tasteless and a sip of wine. But with the word of God, it packs a wallop of salvation and gives you the word and promise attached to it. You see, there was no room for them to act and decide how things ought to be. Nothing for them to decide. Imagine if Israel had called out, as people want to today, and said, "Now, Lord, I've decided to follow you. I'll stop complaining. I've decided that I should have been foolish. But I don't need that bronze serpent which you promised me. But please don't let me die." That Israelite's decision would never save him. It would be too little too late. A worthless decision. The only thing that saved Israel was making use of the means that God provided. The bronze serpent. Anyone who realized he was been bitten and was dying could just look and remember and trust that word and promise and be saved. So too it is for us. It is one thing to say we believe and trust God. It's another to come and hear and receive and live in his word and make use and receive his gifts in body and blood. That it comes from outside of us is the essence of what we hear in Ephesians. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And it's not your own doing. It's a gift of God. That gift comes to us as Moses lifted up that serpent in the wilderness. Jesus says, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him would not have eternal life. As the Israelites were being bitten by fiery snakes in their venom, notice the cure looked just like the disease. A snake lifted up on a pole, upon a cross. Jesus tells us that he will be lifted up for a snake-bitten world. That he will provide the cure that involves the disease, death itself. That he will be lifted up, that all who look and look on him in faith will live. Jesus is the one who takes the sting of death, the venom of the law, into his own body. And Jesus tells us that the story of the Israelites and the snakes, that's our story. Our Lord has provided you for in many ways. And how often do we grumble, we complain, and we want to mourn? Satan and your sins surround you every day, biting at you with his venom. Dead in our sins, though, we see Jesus upon a cross. We see there how God loves the world. He loves the entire creation in this way, that he gave his only begotten Son to die for it. He's raised his Son up upon a cross on a dark day, Good Friday. Not just a bronze image, but he lifted up his own Son in the flesh in a cruel and bizarre death that even people today would rather have an empty cross than rather look at what Jesus did and die upon a cross, a crucifix. an instrument of torture. Who really wants to look at such a thing? People look up and look at Christians and say, what kind of religion is that? That you would behold someone dead upon a cross and say, here's our Savior and King. But upon the cross is Jesus lifted up. And there we see the love of God. He loved the world to death in the death of his Son. And that shed body and blood are giving you today for life and salvation. The church fathers called that which we receive in the sacrament the medicine of immortality. That is the cure for death and the curse of sin. The world would look at the Lord's Supper as though you've just raised up a bronze snake and said, you've got to be joking. That is how you live forever? Trust Jesus, eat his body and drink his blood? What other cure is there, though, for sin and death? Who else promises life from death? Who else in the world has died for sin and rose from the dead? The one who tells us, whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Jesus Christ, our Lord. Many of you know the passage by heart, but it's good to hear and review it again. God loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. It's more than just a sign to hold up at a March Madness event. It's the gospel in a nutshell. And we would be well to learn verse 17 just as diligently. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world, that you might be saved through him. Judgment comes at the end. But then it's a judgment that has already come. And this is the judgment, the light of the world that has come. And so this Sunday, things are a little bit brighter, a little bit lighter. We can behold the Lamb of God as we approach coming soon, his holy week, his death and resurrection. That judgment has come in the light of Christ. That there on the cross on Good Friday, as he says, it is finished, we know our sins are forgiven. And we look forward to the resurrection and Easter joy to celebrate. Because on the cross is your life. He wasn't there to judge you. He was there to save you. Here in the sacrament, he's here not to judge you, but to save you. This morning in holy baptism, he buries Braden just as he has you in that death and resurrection. He is here to take away the poison of your sin, to heal you and give you eternal life. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen.